What if I told you that right now, in 2020, you could experience significant blessing? I mean, if I told you that, would you laugh at me? Would you wait for some kind of disguised sales pitch or hidden agenda? Would you question my sanity? Now, personally, I'm not much of a New Year's Eve kind of guy. I think it's an overrated holiday. But New Year's Eve 2020, I think everybody's gonna have a really good time because we're all ready for 2021. Nobody is gonna miss the year 2020. In fact, if this was Back to the Future, the only advice Doc Brown would give Marty would be, whatever you do, Marty, don't go to the year 2020. Like, nobody's gonna miss this year. I mean, with the global pandemic that just keeps dragging along, the racial division and hurts, the so much uncertainty, I mean, how is it possible to experience significant blessing this year? I mean, how is that even possible? I mean, I think it would just be so easy for us to give up hope and let's just wait until next year. Maybe next year we can say hashtag blessed life because of all that's happening this year. It doesn't seem like any kind of blessing is in the cards. Have you felt that way? I mean, I have. And the reason why we feel that way, it's because we've got a wrong understanding of what blessing actually is. See, so often we think that blessing is something that happens to us, but that's not what blessing is at all. If we think it's something that happens to us, then we're willing to just sit around and wait. I'm just gonna wait until finally something good happens to me. Finally, I'll be blessed by something. And when we do that, we miss out completely. Because blessing isn't something that happens to us. Blessing is something that we do. Now, we're coming close to the end of this playlist of songs that we've been listening to in the book of Psalms. And if you're joining us for the first time, welcome to LifeBridge. We're pumped that you're here with us. If you've missed any of this series at all, you can catch all of it on our website or on our podcast. This playlist of songs that we've been listening to is what the Israelites would have been singing whenever they made their road trips three times a year to Jerusalem to celebrate the major festivals. So every time they would travel, they would sing these songs over and over again. But just like us today, their circumstances were always changing. And they were in different seasons of life all the time. Seasons that were great, seasons that were terrible, circumstances that were awesome, circumstances that were not so good at all. They would have been making this road trip at times when life just seemed to be full of prosperity. You know, everything was clicking, everything was going right. Or maybe they were making this road trip and singing all these songs during a time where life just seemed like a dumpster fire. Or maybe they were taking this trip, singing these songs during a time of personal loss, or maybe during a season when it felt just like it feels like for us in 2020. The point is, their circumstances were changing just like ours. Their seasons of lives were different and up and down just like ours. And yet they sang all of these songs each time. Psalm 134 is a song that at first glance can seem a little tone deaf to what's going on right now. You know, if Nick or Tim led us through this song today, we might respond and say, like, hey guys, I think you're a little out of touch with what's happening right now around all of us. But that's at first glance. Psalm 134 actually points to how we can experience significant blessing in our lives right now. And actually, there is more chance to experience blessing in times of crisis than there is in times of comfort. But before we can see that happen, there's a paradigm shift that has to happen for us. So listen to this song, Psalm 134. It says, come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place. Bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion. Zion's another term for Jerusalem. May the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made heaven and earth. That's it. A short, sweet, and to the point. Bless the Lord. But I thought we were talking about blessing for us. Bless the Lord? Like, what if I don't feel like blessing the Lord? Like, COVID keeps dragging along. Bless the Lord? I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with school this fall. Maybe I'm not going to get to go back to college. I don't know. Am I going to have to homeschool my kids again? And if that happens, somebody's going to die in our house. Bless the Lord? Like, with all the racial division that's happening right now, it's bringing up pain from my past because of what I've experienced with racism because I'm a minority. Like, bless the Lord? My marriage is struggling. My boss is a jerk. My kids are having issues. My best friend hurt me. Bless the Lord. Really? But this is the first part of the shift that has to happen for us. The first part of the shift so that we can actually experience real blessing. And Psalm 134 nails it. The first part that we have to shift to experience real blessing, get this, is to bless the Lord, regardless of how we feel. And there's going to be times where you don't feel like blessing the Lord. I mean, maybe you're in a spot right now where that's the truth. I mean, it's going to happen to all of us. There's going to be times where we don't feel like blessing the Lord. But that's the first step, because when we bless the Lord, we take the focus off ourselves and we put it on Him. We give Him praise and prayer. Those are two of the best ways to actually bless the Lord: worship and prayer. That's why we're singing songs every single week. We don't sing songs just to do it. We're not doing it for entertainment. We're not doing it so we can have good music. That's not the case at all. When we worship, we're saying, God, you're worth it. We want to attribute all the praise and honor that you deserve for what you've done and what you will do. When we worship God like that, that's blessing Him. I mean, some of you are more of a blessing to the Lord than I am, because my singing sounds like somebody that got cut on the first day of auditions at American Idol. But in all seriousness, when we put ourselves aside and focus on worshiping the Lord and praising Him, that's a blessing to Him. Come bless the Lord, you servants of the Lord. Lift up your hands. Hey, this is getting at something I think that's really helpful. Because there's plenty of times where you don't feel like worshiping the Lord, man. Right now, I bet a lot of us don't feel like blessing God. I mean, there's so much going on. We just don't feel like we're really up to blessing God. Well, one of the ways to help do that is to change our feelings or our attitude towards that, is lift up our hands. That's what Psalm 134 is getting at. Because I may not feel like blessing the Lord, but whenever I raise up my hands in worship and in prayer, even if that's awkward for me, I don't feel like doing it, when I lift up my hands in worship and prayer, what I'm doing is saying, even though my heart isn't up, I'm gonna raise up my hands so my heart can raise up to the level my hands are at. I'm gonna pull myself out of this, continue to focus on God, not myself. That honors Him, that blesses Him. That's saying, God, you're worth it. That's what Psalm 134 is talking about. The first step to experiencing real blessing is to bless the Lord. Now, something that's helpful, I think it's helpful to know who this song is written about. It says, come bless the Lord, all you servants, keyword, servants. So this song is talking about the Levites. These guys were the priests in Israel. It was their job to do everything in the temple, which is where God's presence actually was. They were responsible for leading through the sacrificial system. These guys were the priests between God and the people. I mean, that's a pretty big job. On top of that, whenever the major festivals were going on in Jerusalem, the Levites would take shifts in the temple 24 hours a day. They would be in the temple all day long, watching over it and guarding it. There'd be somebody at 3 o'clock in the morning with their hands lifted up, praying and worshiping God, watching over the temple, guarding it all the time. I mean, that's a big job. But here's my take on this. Doesn't that sound a little ridiculous? I mean, even a little pointless. Like, here's what I mean. If you're guarding the temple, like the central place for worship, the place where God's presence was residing, the same God that created heaven and earth by speaking it into existence, the same God that by His power alone, He just crushed the bonds of slavery and led Israel out of 400 years of captivity in Egypt, the same God that had His power on display for centuries before any of this happened, before this song was ever written, the same God that parted the Red Sea and walked the Israelites through it on dry land, that God, now His presence resides voluntarily in this temple. So let's go get Jim and Larry to guard it. Like, doesn't that sound a little goofy? I mean, nothing against Jim or Larry and nothing against any of the Levites, but if God is really all powerful, if He really is God, does He need anybody to guard anything that's His? I mean, that's a great question. See, it's so easy for us to believe that God needs us for something. It's so easy to believe that. It's so easy to believe that God needed the Levites to do these things that He had asked them to do. And when we fall into believing that God needs us to do something, God needs us to do this, God needs us to do that, when we believe that, then we can fall into the trap of believing that God needs to give us something in return. Well, because we're needed, we should be compensated. Because we're needed, God should do this for us in return. Because we're needed, we can feel entitled to consume. Because we're needed, then God should bless us. It's so easy to fall into that trap. I've fallen into that way of thinking without realizing it more often than I can even imagine. But here's the truth, and this is the shift that we have to make. If we're Christians, this is the shift that LifeBridge has to make. This is the shift that the American church has to make, and we can learn from it in Psalm 134. It's this: God didn't need them for anything. The Levites, he didn't need them to do anything. He didn't need them to guard or watch anything. But he invited them in. He invited them into his mission. He invited them to contribute. And he's God. He doesn't need anything from anybody. If he did, he wouldn't be God. Instead, he invited them to contribute to what he was already doing. God has said yesterday to his people, he's saying it today, and he'll say it again tomorrow. He's saying, man, I want to invite you into doing what I'm doing. I want you to join me. I want you to be a part of what I'm about. I want you to contribute. Right now, God is offering an invitation to you and to me to contribute to what he's doing all over the world. He's offering us an invitation to contribute to the transformation in people's lives that he's doing in our cities. He's offering us an invitation to contribute to justice that's happening all over the world. He's offering us a chance to contribute to taking care of the needs of people all around us. He's offering us an opportunity to contribute to generations changed by his word and his truth and his grace. He's offering us a chance to contribute to building his church. And if you remember from a few weeks ago, a unified local church is the hope of the world. And it's one of the most powerful things in the world. God is offering you and I a chance to contribute to all of that. Psalm 134 is talking about the priests, the Levites. Well, you and I, we're not priests. Well, today, because of Jesus, if you're a follower of Christ, it says, the New Testament says that we are the priesthood of all believers. So Psalm 134 today is talking to the church. If you're a Christian, it means he's talking to you. So this is the paradigm shift that we've got to make. This is what I've been referring to. We've got to shift from being consumers to being contributors. Consumers to contributors. And this is everywhere in the American church, because we have built a value in our culture in the United States, a value of consumerism. Consume as much as you want. Consume what you want. Consume when you want. Consume the best that you can. Consume anything that you possibly can with the end goal being our own comfort. Man, we've built an entire culture on consumerism, and I don't have to tell you that. Like, well, we don't have to talk about our shopping and marketing and advertisement. We're all a part of it. We're all taking part of it. We've built a value in the United States on consumerism, and that value has now seeped into the church. It's so easy to turn the church into a place where you consume religious goods and services. And man, does this church do what I want it to do? Is this church convenient for my schedule? Is this church giving me what I want? Is this church doing the thing that I want it to do? Is this church giving me what I need? Have you ever heard somebody say before that, hey, yeah, right now we're church shopping? Have you ever heard that before? Or maybe you've even said it. I mean, it's okay that if you have. I have said it before. I know it's an innocent statement, but it gives a glimpse into that consumerism. I'm church shopping, meaning I'm looking to consume, not necessarily looking to contribute. Attach yourself to a church that pursues Jesus and his mission. Attach yourself to a church that preaches God's word and preaches the gospel, and then be a contributor to that church, not just a consumer. Because a church that is full of contributors will be a church that sees the needs of its city met. It'll be the church that is a part of justice taking place all over the world. It'll be the church that sees people reached that don't know Jesus. It'll see generations transformed by the gospel. It'll see addictions broken. It'll plant churches. It will give generously. It will grow not only numerically, but also in depth. It will see disciples being made. It will be a glimpse of heaven for the world to see. And that's just scratching the surface for a church that is full of contributors. But a church that is full of consumers, it'll eventually die. It's that simple. As long as God allows me to lead here, LifeBridge will always be a church that contributes, because it's not about us, it's about him. It's not about us, it's about them. As a church, we are about him and we are about them. Who's them? Anybody who is not you and I. But here's the thing. The Levites were guarding the temple because that's where God's presence was, like we already talked about. Well, because of what Jesus did on the cross, now anybody who puts their faith and trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior has been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. That means the presence of God is no longer in a building. The presence of God is in the heart of everyone who is a servant of Jesus. That's really good news. That means we don't have to guard a building, but we do have to guard our hearts. We got to guard ourselves against the enemies of contribution. I won't speak for you, I'll just speak for me. But there are plenty of times where I just want to be in control. I want to do things my way. I want to make the call. I want to control the situations I'm in. That's something I wrestle with. And some of you don't have that issue. I do at times. I got to fight against that. And the reason why I want control is because that's comfortable. But the more I focus on being in control, the more I forget about contributing. We got to choose contributing over control and comfort every day of the week. And one of the things that we've learned from COVID is that none of us are in control of anything. Like, we've learned that. If you still haven't learned that lesson, as your pastor, let me just graciously tell you right now, you're not in control. Control's a myth. The only type of control that's real is self-control. That's it. So you can either choose to control yourself and contribute, or you can chase after the control of your surroundings and circumstances that doesn't even exist. Another enemy is complacency. If I'm complacent, I just don't care. If I'm complacent, then why would I ever care about contributing to something that's bigger than myself? If I don't care about whether or not the needs of people in my city are met, if I don't care about people being reached for Jesus, if I don't care about justice happening, if I don't care about people's lives being transformed, then why would I ever contribute? I mean, that's what complacency does. Complacency is the enemy of the church. And then another enemy that has probably caused more unnoticed damage than we realize is consumerism. We've already talked about this. But here's the question I've been asking myself all week, and I want to ask you this question too. Like, I've been asking myself all week, am I a consumer or am I a contributor? Like, I've been wrestling with that. Ask yourself the same question. Are you a consumer or are you a contributor? A contributor is an active player. A consumer watches from the sidelines. A contributor gives without taking. A consumer takes without giving. A contributor is all about other people. A consumer is all about themselves. A contributor wants to see progress and impact, and a contributor wants comfort and convenience. A contributor makes sacrifices for something greater than themselves, and a consumer wants other people to sacrifice for them. I mean, we could go on and on and on with examples that we could come up with, but the point is this. You've got to answer that question. Am I a consumer or am I a contributor? God is inviting you and me to contribute to what He is already doing, and that's where the real blessing is. And when we do that, when we contribute to what God is already doing, that blesses Him. Come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand by the night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, He who made heaven and earth. So if you are a follower of Jesus, you are a servant of the Lord. That means here's the truth that comes out of Psalm 134. Being blessed comes from being a blessing. That's it. Being blessed comes from being a blessing. Everyone wants to be blessed. Everyone wants to be blessed. But so often we fall into this thinking that being blessed means something has to happen to us or we get something. But that's not real blessing at all. Real blessing is not when something happens to us. Real blessing is when we do something for someone else. Real blessing isn't when we get something. Real blessing comes when we give. Because of COVID right now, because of all the frustration and the pain and the loss and the anxiety and the uncertainty, everyone wants to be blessed. You want to be. I want to be blessed. The guy that cut you off in traffic, your friends, the people you don't like, everybody wants to be blessed right now because blessing seems like a scarce commodity. But because of the time that we're in right now, because of that pain and frustration and loss and anxiety and uncertainty, because of all of that, right now, you have more opportunity to experience significant blessing in your life because right now, you have more opportunity to bless other people. In 2020 of all years, we might have the most opportunity to experience real blessing because we have more opportunity to bless others. Right now, be a blessing. Be a contributor. Look for ways to contribute, because that's what being a servant and being a blessing really means. It means you're being a contributor. And as a church, we've tried to be very active to be contributors to our communities during this whole time. I mean, the list is way too long for me to read, but I want to tell you some of the things that we've done and that we've been a part of ever since COVID started. And the reason I'm telling you these things is so that you know. Many of you have been a part of it. Many of you know, but I want all of us to know what's been going on. I want all of us to know what we as a church, this is not one individual, this is not a group of people, this is LifeBridge as a church. I want you to know what we've been a part of and what we've been doing so that you're encouraged. And I also want you to be inspired, because the more inspired we are to contribute, the more we are, the more we'll bring people on with us to contribute. That means that all that means is more impact. All that means is more transformation. So since the beginning, we've taken care of the financial needs of many different families. We have taken care of utility bills, paid for resources for counseling, taken care of food and clothing needs for our single moms. I mean, that's something we've done for years, and we will not stop doing that. We have provided a meal for every single first responder in Longmont. EMTs, fire, and police, every single one of them have gotten a meal from LifeBridge. We bought Starbucks gift cards for every single Boulder County deputy and then delivered all 248 of them with handwritten notes that many of you wrote to the sheriff's office. We built a house for a family in need in Lyons through Habitat. We've taken care of providing meals for hospital staffs and in-home nursing services. We've taken care and done food drives for children's homes, and the list goes on and on and on. I literally have three pages of things that our church, we have been a part of and done to contribute since COVID started, and we're not gonna stop. I keep looking at the website, lbcc.org/serve, and watching our social media, watch for videos and emails that come out for different ways for you to serve, get involved, and contribute. But at the same time, don't wait for an opportunity to come. I mean, right now we don't know when we're gonna get to gather again for physical services. We don't know, and that's frustrating. I know you're frustrated. I'm more frustrated than anybody about that, but we're gonna be patient. In the meantime, we can't wait to be the church. We need the church to be the church and keep going. Now, we're going to continue to provide opportunities as a church, but look for opportunities to contribute and get creative on your own. I mean, there's things that you can do right now. One thing you could do, you could invite other people over to your house on Sunday mornings to watch services as a watch party. That's a way to gather right now and serve other people. Maybe do it on Wednesday night or Tuesday night if Sunday morning's hard for you right now. Invite people over. Man, look for ways to provide for needs of people in your neighborhood. If you're in a small group or a rooted group, look for ways to serve together. Man, write an encouragement note to somebody that's on your heart, or make a phone call to somebody that's in need. That's a great way to contribute. Maybe take that first step to giving. Look for seniors in your neighborhood to do yard work for. There's so many different ways that we can contribute right now, and we need the church to be creative and contribute, because this is the time for the church to shine. Now, nobody thought we would be where we're at right now in July. I mean, personally, in March, I thought it'd be 2 weeks, you know, the 2 week quarantine at the beginning, and then we would be back into our building, back to normal, whatever that would have looked like. And then at the latest, I thought Easter, we'd be back to in-person services. But here we are towards the end of July, and there's no end in sight. That's frustrating. But that doesn't ruin anything for us. We can still go and make disciples. We can still share Jesus. We can still serve the needs of people in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our cities, and that's what we've done. And we need all of the church to step up and do that. One of the things that's on my mind the most right now, I keep asking myself this question: what's next? Like, what's gonna happen next? What are we gonna do next? And I bet you're asking the same question. What are we as a church doing? What are we gonna do next? Well, here's my promise to you. As a church, especially as a church leadership, we're talking and thinking about that a lot. And not only just talking and thinking about it, what are we going to do about it? What steps are we going to build so that people can take a next step to growth personally as a disciple of Jesus, can take a next step to lead somebody else, can take a next step to contribute? And we're going to build those out. We're in the process of doing that right now. But in the meantime, we just need to keep going as a church. Keep looking for opportunities. Keep stepping up and being a contributor. Because a church that is full of contributors will be a church that sees the needs of its city met. That'll be a church that sees and is a part of justice happening all over the world. That's a church that will reach people that don't know Jesus. That's a church that will see generations transformed by the gospel. That's a church that will see addictions broken. That'll be a church that plants other churches. That's a church that gives generously. That's a church that sees disciples made. That's a church that grows not only numerically, but also in depth. That's a church that will give a glimpse of heaven to the world for the entire world to see. That's the kind of church that I want to be a part of. And LifeBridge, that's where we're going. That's where we're going. How, Matt? How are we going to do that? That's what we're going to clarify. And I'm committed to you, and our church is committed to all of us, to building out those next steps so that all of us can walk in those next steps. Be a blessing, because that's where true blessing comes from. Be a servant, because that's where blessing comes from. Be a contributor, because that's where real blessing comes from. That's where we're going. Let me pray. Father, I just ask right now that you would give us patience, that you would give us peace, that you would give us proactivity, that you would give us compassion, that you would give us energy to be contributors to what you're doing all over Northern Colorado. You've strategically placed LifeBridge as a church here in this part of the country, in this part of the state. Use us. Help us be a church that is always contributors, not consumers. Father, I believe that LifeBridge is as old as it is, because this church historically has been contributors. I think that's why you've used us for so long. I pray that you would continue to let us be contributors. Give us that courage. Give us the energy in a time where we're just tired to do that. And Father, give us the wisdom and vision of what you want next. We love you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week, guys.